Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. This is episode 144. Now, the news for this week is that the Masonic Roundtable, the other podcast that I'm involved in, is moving along nicely. It is, of course, on YouTube, syndicated, and it is live on Tuesday nights at 10, 9 central via Google Hangouts. And now it's also up as an audio podcast on iTunes. So check that out. A little bit different this week. I normally make really nice show notes and I go through these things and we follow my notes pretty well. And this week, I have shortened my notes just a little bit. I've kind of moved on to a shorthand form so that I don't have everything written out all the time, kind of streamlining the production process. So bear with me a little bit if things seem a little out of sorts. In any case, I'd like to just move right along into the first piece that I have for you this week. And it's called The Kabbalah and Freemasonry. And I'm really excited about this because I've been interested in the subject for a long time, and personally, I had a general interest in the Kabbalah ever since I started reading certain books. One of the books I read was the Zohar, or books about the Zohar, books about the Kabbalah, all these ancient mystical books that kind of tie into Freemasonry in certain odd places. And because there is so much interest in the Kabbalah and the ancient mysteries or the esoteric portions of it, I wanted to read a little bit about it. Again, this piece is called The Kabbalah and Freemasonry. Rooted in the ancient Egyptian mysteries, three different versions of basically the same teachings can be identified by three different spellings: Kabbalah with a K, Kabbalah with a C, and Kabbalah with a Q. The Kabbalah is an essentially Jewish mystical or esoteric school. Although the Christian church fathers of the first century were demonstrably Kabbalists, mystical or Gnostic elements within the church largely disappeared within the first three centuries, only to reappear as a Christian Kabbalah during the Renaissance. A third often hidden stream of the mystical Western philosophy absorbed by many Egyptian, Jewish, and Christian mystical elements and termed them Kabbalah. Christian writers such as Agrippa in his De Occulta Philosophia Libri 3 from 1533, or Giovanni Pico della Mirandola, and also the Roman Catholic Church spell it Kabbalah, C-A-B-A-L-A. The Latin spelling transferred over to English, contemporary Neo-Hermeticists following MacGregor Mathers, 1854 to 1918, and Aleister Crowley, 1875 to 1947, will use Kabbalah, Q-A-B-A-L-A, or some other derivative. The word comes from a Hebrew word meaning to receive. According to the Hebrew English Dictionary, in context, it is a received body of knowledge passed down orally which serves as an exegesis of Hebrew scriptures, particularly the Torah or Pentateuch. A direct experience of God is central to the ideas of Kabbalah. Mackey's Encyclopedia of Freemasonry devotes almost three pages to the Kabbalah, noting, quote, "It has sometimes been used in an enlarged sense as comprehending all the explanations, maxims, and ceremonies which have been traditionally handed down to the Jews. But in that more limited exception, in which it is intimately connected with the symbolic science of Freemasonry, the Kabbalah may be defined to be a system of philosophy which embraces certain mystical interpretations of scripture and metaphysical and spiritual beings." End quote. Quote, Buxtorf, the Lexicon of the Talmud, defines the Kabbalah to be a secret science which treats in a mystical and enigmatical manner of things divine, angelical, theological, celestial, and metaphysical, the subjects being enveloped in striking symbols and secret modes of teachings. Much use is made of it in the advanced degrees, and entire rites have been constructed on its principles. Hence, it demands a place in any general work on Freemasonry. These quotes from the 19th century and others like them give anti-Masons free rein to claim Freemasonry is Kabbalistic without really understanding either Freemasonry or the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah defined. The Kabbalah is divided into two kinds, the practical and the theoretical. The practical is occupied by the construction of talismans and amulets and is of no interest to Freemasonry. Practical Kabbalah has its ancient roots in the 13 Enochian keys of Enoch, son of Cain, along with a highly ecclesiastic admixture of material taken from Egyptian, Mesopotamian, and other non-Hebrew sources. The 13 Enochian keys of Enoch, son of Cain, are reflected in such works as the Book of the Sacred Magic of Abramelin the Mage, the Greater and Lesser Keys of Solomon, and medieval grimoires such as the Armadel, Gotia, Lamegaton, etc. The primary text of the mystical Kabbalah that appears to occupy a central place of importance in the Hermetic Kabbalah is the Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Formation. The two most prominent contemporary schools of practical or Hermetic Kabbalah are the Golden Dawn and the Ordo Templi Orientis, the OTO. The bulk of mainstream Orthodox Jewish Kabbalists focus primarily on the Sefer HaZohar, or the Book of Splendor, and the Tree of Life. They engage in practices of spiritual refinement and meditation, gleaned from the writings of several men like Abraham Abulafia, Azrael of Gerona, and several others. These practices include a variety of visualization techniques, breathing exercises, movements coordinated with the permutation and combination of Hebrew letters, mantric intonation and sacred phrases, meditative prayer, and chanting devotional songs. The theoretical Kabbalah is divided into dogmatic, which is a summary of rabbinical theosophy and philosophy, and the literal, which teaches a mystical mode of explaining sacred things by assigning numerical values to the letters of words. The literal Kabbalah, divided into Gematria, Notarikon, and Temura, was made use of in the writing of what Mackey termed the advanced degrees of Masonry. These more properly should be termed the additional degrees of concordant Masonic bodies. The Kabbalah plays no role in regular craft Masonry. The history of the Kabbalah. After the destruction of the Second Temple of Jerusalem, 70 CE, many Jews who relocated to Egypt were influenced by the Alexandrian Pythagoreans. Jewish leaders and intellectuals such as Artapanos, Philon the Alexandrian, the historian Josephus Flavius, the Hasmoneans, Johanan Hyrcanus, Alexander Janin, Hanok, Hillel, Johann ben Zakkai, and others were central figures of this spiritual scientific development. The esoteric Jewish theosophy or religious mystic philosophy developed from about this time. In the absence of a central spiritual leadership under foreign and hostile rule, some regional Jewish schools developed into sects such as the Essenes, the Nazarenes, Pharisees, and Sadducees. The Jewish Kabbalah reached its peak during the 12th and 13th centuries, arguably responsible for the development of both science and mysticism in Europe. In the 11th and 12th centuries, the greatest contributions to science were made by Jewish scholars, especially in Spain. Names known from religious sources as rabbis and Kabbalists are known in history books of mathematics and science as outstanding inventors and developers. A distinctly Christian Kabbalah may be said to have started with the work of Ramon Llull, 1232 to 1317, during a period of religious tolerance in Spain. Starting in the late 15th century CE, a movement arose among some Jewish converts to Christianity in Spain to ascribe a distinctly Christian context to the hidden meanings of Kabbalistic doctrines. This movement gained momentum from speculation among Florentine Platonists that the Kabbalah contained a lost revelation that explains the secrets of the Catholic faith. This cross-pollination led to the emergence of a distinctly Christian Kabbalah founded by Giovanni Pico del Mirandola, 1436 to 1494. Pico saw in the Kabbalah a link to the Greek philosophers as well as a proof of the divinity of Jesus Christ. Pico's writings, and subsequently those of John Reuchlin, 1455 to 1522, created an interest that spread throughout the intellectual European community. In the 16th century, the appearance of Kabbalistic texts in Latin translation enhanced attempts to draw further parallels between esoteric Jewish doctrines and Christianity. Postel translated and published the Zohar and Sefer Yetzirah into Latin even before they were published in Hebrew. Latin texts in the 17th and 18th centuries were influential in standardizing the Kabbalah, as the spelling commonly associated with the Christian perspectives in Kabbalistic teachings. In the 17th century, the center of Christian Kabbalah study moved to England and Germany, where its status was boosted by the theosophical writings of Jacob Boehme and the compendium of Christian Knorr von Rosenroth and Athanasius Kirchner extrapolated the Kabbalistic allusion of Adam Kadmon to be a reference to Jesus as the primordial man in Christian theology. In the final phase in the development of the Christian's Kabbalah in the 17th and 18th centuries, it became permeated with the alchemical symbolism and conjoined with the emerging doctrines of theosophy and Rosicrucianism. Those who believe Freemasonry's root are found in Rosicrucian and Hermetic teachings will therefore see the influence of the Kabbalah in its development. Claims and accusations. Those who claim the Kabbalistic roots for Freemasonry are of two widely different perspectives. The first group are generally religious fundamentalists who, a priori, condemn Freemasonry, Judaism, and the Kabbalah as being anti-Christian and often equate the whole with Satanism. They will also make such accusations as, quote-unquote, Freemasonry and the New World Order are Nazism revived, that one key ritual in Freemasonry involves drinking from human skulls, and Freemasonry is the instrument created to carry out the return to paganism, end quote. They will also quote out of context from Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma, quote, all the Masonic associations owe to it their secrets and their symbols, end quote, and claim that Freemasonry is divided into two branches, quote, there is the branch of the Scottish Rite and the branch of the Shriners. Scottish Freemasonry is the Christian branch, while the Shriners are actually the Islamic branch, end quote. The Prophecy Institute in Keene, Texas will, for a quote-unquote donation of $26, quote, inform you of what is the Kabbalah and how it influences today's governments, end quote. To anyone who has made any objective study of either Freemasonry or the Kabbalah, these accusations and claims are patently ridiculous. And Kabbalists who promote the theory of Freemasonry's links to the Kabbalah, they are entitled to their opinions, but it must be stressed that they do not speak for Freemasonry. They are only expressing their opinions. They view the study of both as enhancing their relationship with God and have come to some personal conclusions about what they perceive as similarities. Whatever intellectual or spiritual similarities there may be between Freemasonry and the Kabbalah, any historical links are strictly conjectural and unsupported. All right, next I have another piece which is not necessarily Masonic, but it deals with an organization which is so similar it is confused for the same, the Order of the Oddfellows. The Independent Order of Oddfellows is a fraternal organization that bears many similarities to the Freemasons. The first American lodge, Washington Lodge No. 1, was founded in Baltimore, Maryland on April 26, 1819. In the first half of the 19th century in the United States, the Oddfellows were influenced by the temperance movement and forbade drinking. For a few years in the third quarter of the 19th century, the Oddfellows membership was larger than Masonic membership, but membership has fallen quickly throughout the 20th century. The Sovereign Grand Lodge of North America of Oddfellows is currently located in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. A brief history. In an effort to prove its antiquity, there are those who would claim its introduction into Great Britain in AD 98. In fact, its descent is traced, unfortunately without historical corroboration, from a secret society existing among the captive Israelites in Babylon. In the year 79, there was a group of captives in Rome, having traditions, secret associations, and signs who repeatedly proved their fidelity to the emperor, and who were named fellow citizens and odd fellows. They formed themselves into military legion and became part of a Roman host that invaded Britain. From that time forward, there is no way to trace the order down to the period in which the name Oddfellows again appears in British history. The leaders of the Oddfellowship of the present century have not been much concerned of the antiquity of the order, their aim being to adapt the society to the needs of modern times and conditions. The history of the Independent Order of Oddfellows, for which there exists authentic records, dates back two centuries. An excerpt from the minutes of Aristarchus Lodge No. 9 of March the 12th, 1748 establishes the fact that this lodge had been operating from some time prior thereto, and its number indicates that at least eight other lodges had existed up to that time. Their goals. It is now and shall always remain the fundamental creed of the order that they believe in a supreme being, the creator and preserver of the universe. The order is and shall ever continue to be bound to charitable and beneficent works in visiting the sick, relieving the distressed, burying the dead, and educating the orphan, and in the performance of all these reciprocal duties and benevolences which spring from their recognition of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, and from the inculcation and practices of friendship, love, and truth. Oddfellowship, this brotherhood, is a social compact by which each to the other pledges himself to interchangeable duty and interchangeable service, a service not of compulsion, but of love. Service not only to an odd fellow, but to God, to country, to every man who suffers, who needs the material or moral aid of other men, and the entire world is the field of endeavor. That was pulled by Joseph Powley, Concise History of Odd Fellowship, published by the author, Macomb Publishing Company Limited, Toronto, 1952. So you guys can really see a lot of the same similarities. In fact, much of what I just read was pulled directly from their websites and their books of that time. And of that time means 1952. But again, the similarities are pretty incredible. And if you go to antique stores, sometimes I'll visit them looking for old Masonic antiques, and somebody I'll be with will say, "Hey, Robert, come look at this." And they'll think it's something Masonic, when in fact, it looks so Masonic, I have to look at it for a couple minutes before I realize, wait a second, this is Oddfellows. Very cool stuff, though. So I need to say thanks to some of the folks who have been making donations to the show. I really appreciate it, and of course, it all goes back into the show. If supporting this show interests you at all, please visit our website at www.wcypodcast.com and click on the links to support the show. When you do that, you'll find several ways to actually help out. First, of course, are the apps which let you listen to streaming, much like the podcast app on Apple or on Stitcher Smart Radio. Except with these apps, which are available on Windows 8, Android, through the Amazon.com marketplace, and of course through Podcast Box app on Apple devices, you actually get exclusive bonus content like papers we read on the show via PDFs and weekly Masonic wallpapers. Another option is through doing something that you already do anyway, which is shopping. We have a couple of websites which really help us out with funding when you use our coupon code. The first, of course, is Brother Juan Sepulveda. He runs the website freemasonryart.com, and he is also the brother behind the Masonic podcast, The Winding Stairs. And he's also a co-host with me on the Masonic Roundtable. His site is freemasonryart.com again, and it's the place to go for fine art prints of Masonic symbolism, and trust me, these are really eye-catching and mind-engaging prints. He is seriously talented, and he's not just some guy who draws and paints. Brother Juan is a fine artist by trade. What does that mean? It means this is what he does for a living. He has gallery showings where he premieres and sells his art. He's the real deal. Great stuff, and I know you'll love it. In addition to prints, he also does custom Masonic aprons, not drawn, scanned, and inkjetted onto an apron, but hand-drawn. One of a kind. So please, if this interests you, do yourself a favor and check out freemasonryart.com. And if you're so inclined, use the promo code WCY at the checkout, which gives you 10% off. And Juan sends a little bit this way. And I have to thank him for keeping it on the level. He has always helped us out every month with a little bit due to the shopping that you guys do. So thank you so very much for all your support. We also have a deal with the folks over at Onna Labs, who make some of the world's best healthy living supplements. Things like hemp protein, nootropic vitamins, also immunity supplements, and even equipment like kettlebells and battle ropes. All those are available. Just click through the links on WCYpodcast.com and also use that promo code WCY at the checkout and you'll get 10% off. Of course, the last and most popular way is just by making a PayPal donation in the amount that you choose. Any amount is awesome, and as a reminder, I have to tell you that all the money that we get from Juan, that we get from Onnit, from the app sales, and from straight donations through PayPal, all of it just pays for the hosting cost of this show. It keeps all the episodes from episode one going forward available indefinitely, forever. It pays for the equipment. I need to fix something or upgrade something, so every little bit helps, and I really appreciate it, guys. So next is this week's famous Freemason. This week's famous Freemason is Brother E.B. Eddy, born February 10th, 1906, and he passed away on August 22nd, 1827. Kind of one of the cooler ones here. Many of these men were explorers, inventors, doctors, lawyers, politicians, frontiersmen, founders of the country. This one is an inventor. Born in Vermont, industrialist Ezra Butler Eddy, the matchmaker of the world, moved his small friction match factory from Burlington, Vermont to Hull, Quebec in 1851. He expanded, modernized, and diversified to produce a variety of wood and paper products. Eddy was a member of the Quebec legislature from 1871 to 1875, alderman of Hull from January 21st 1878 to January 17th of 1888, and mayor of the city from January 24th, 1881 to January 28th, 1885, and from January 25th, 1887 to January 17th, 1888. Of course, those are a ton of dates there. He also served as the president of the Ottawa Ladies College. He was a member of Eddy Lodge No. 41 in Hull, who was granted a dispensation dated the 8th of May, 1873, and received a warrant Number 298 on the 10th of July, 1873, from the Grand Lodge of Canada. The first worshipful master was E.B. Eddy. Eddy Lodge affiliated with the Grand Lodge of Quebec on the 23rd of September, 1874. the interstation thereof on its warrant was made on the 10th of December, 1874, when it became number 41. I want to quickly remind everybody about the charities that are coming up. Of course, the Scottish Rite Dyslexia Center of Metropolitan Chicago is doing the walk on the 31st of May, which is the end of this month. So if you guys can make it out, if you're going to travel, if you're from Chicago, please check it out. There are hundreds of thousands of people in Chicago alone with dyslexia. With your help, we can build a center that can treat more than just 40 people a year. It's a two-year program, and how many programs do you know that have a 98% success rate when it comes to a disability like dyslexia? Not many. The Metropolitan Chicago Dyslexia Center does. They have a 98% success rate, and hopefully we can increase that with the tools that we need to get things moving along. And so we need to build a new facility to accommodate more than 40 kids a year. So if you are able, please donate. You can visit walkfordyslexia.org for more information. Another charity that I'd like to mention quickly is the Illinois Grand Lodge Society of King Solomon. It is a society that you can join. It is in recognition for larger donations to the charities for Illinois. For instance, the CHIP program, Child Identification Program, the Children's Homes, the Masonic Services Association, and many other charities. Your donation goes directly into a fund to help all of that. And the donation amounts start at $500. And for that, you get a jewel, you get a little patent that thanks you for your donation. And what's really cool, though, is if you don't have that kind of money, and I didn't, okay, I bequeathed the money through my life insurance to the Grand Lodge of Illinois for this charitable program. So that is an option for you. If you'd like more information on that, you can visit the Illinois Grand Lodge's website, and you can actually find there's a page there just for the Society of King Solomon. And if you want more information on it, you can shoot me an email at wcypodcast@gmail.com, or you can go to that website again and you can contact Brother Howard Graff or Brother Tom Lucchese. They are doing fantastic things with it, and I really hope you guys check it out. That's it for this week. Please remember to find us on Facebook, follow on Twitter, check out the Masonic Roundtable on Tuesday nights, or it's syndicated on Google. We are up to episode 14, soon to be 15. They are going up on iTunes as we acquire bandwidth. We are up to episode 7 or 8 right now, so check that out. The Midnight Freemasons publishing 3 amazing articles every week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. We've got some great things happening. We just launched our .org. So if you want to check out the Midnight Freemasons and you're tired of typing in www.midnightfreemason.blogspot.com, now all you do is type in midnightfreemasons.org. It's plural now with a S. midnightfreemasons.org. You can also put in the www.midnightfreemasons.org, and that will take you directly to the website. Of course, you can subscribe to that website as well through RSS feed and email. It's a fantastic site. People do a lot of work getting together some really good material that we can put up there for today's Mason. And I hope you guys check it out. This show is also on Google Plus. You can find us on Google Plus, on Tumblr, on basically every social media outlet. If you want to find us on Google Plus, which is a really nice alternate to Facebook, you can find that under our email address, wcypodcast@gmail.com. Lastly, please check out Brother John Paul Gomez over at Fraternal Ties and Brother Jeff Koch over at PB&J Water. Both those guys are hardworking brothers who own their own businesses, and they give you the best things that they can give you for the money. And so I can't say enough good things about those guys. So stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'll talk to you guys all next week. I'm Robert Johnson.